Ah, I greet you in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses He is Lord. Whether you like it or not, that's the reality. You know, all of the world, all of their gods, all of their ambitions, all of their goals, all of their agendas will ultimately bow before the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, they're allowed to do all of their things for a window and a season of time, just so that the place that people end up for all eternity, that they are fully convinced that they deserve to be where they are because of the life and the choices that they've made. People choose it. They choose their eternal reality. They choose whether they want to spend their eternity in a place in connection with their Heavenly Father, or heaven, or, you know, call it paradise, call it what you will, or if they want to spend their eternal existence in torment, separated from the very reason that they were created, which is to be in relationship with God, to be in relationship with the one that made them, separated for eternity from their purpose. You know, people sometimes go through life bouncing around trying to figure out, okay, what are they doing here? What is their purpose in life? You know, your ultimate purpose in life is to know Him, is to fear God, to keep the commandments, to walk with Him, to know Him, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And an extension of that and an overflow of that is, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, upon these hinge all the law of the prophets. You know, you were made to love God. You know, here's something about human beings, actually. Okay, every human being, every human on the face of this earth was created and designed and geared towards love. Now let me take that on. Let me carry this on for a second. You love something. You're geared towards love. It's just the question is, where is that love focused? Do you love money? Do you love yourself? Do you love the world and the world system? Do you love the things in the world which are passing away, which moth and rust eat and destroy and thieves break in and steal? Do you love destruction? Do you love pain? Do you love pleasure? What do you love? What's your love? Because if your love is God, if your love is truth, if your love is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So if your love is for the way, your love is for truth, your love is for life, you know, you're loving God. But do you love Him or not? Because, you know, the thing is people are going to love something. People are going to love something. You know, some people love to be depressed. You know that? Some people love to destroy their own lives, to be self-destructive. They choose that because they love that. Some people love to torment others, and they get their thrills and their kicks by being, by destroying the lives of others. So they love the suffering of others. Some people love to know what it is to take another life and to have that power to take another physical life. They love to have a license to kill, as it were. You know, and usually those people they're searched out by certain military groups, get certain sorts of training, work for certain extensions of the military, and then get into some very devious stuff because they love that feeling and that rush of taking another life. Oh, I know, there's some sick stuff out there. And you know, depending on how much you've got your eyes open, you know, if you will willingly just embrace truth, once you get past the shock of what things might be and that the world is not what it appears on the surface, once you get past that initial thing, You're grateful. Because you know why? Because once you get past that, then you can actually live a real life. You can live an authentic life. You can actually deal with things for what they are and don't live in an illusion of what things are actually not. Because you know, a lot of people that go on thinking that the world is something that it's not, they get into a lot of bitterness and resentment later on when this life is over. You know, when they get towards the close of this life and they realize that the very foundations of what they built this life and world upon was wasted, was stupid, was shifting sands, was not anything worthwhile. You know, that revelation of, you know, oh my gosh, I was climbing a ladder and the problem was it was leaning against the wrong building. You know, that's what the world does. It climbs a ladder. They want to all climb the corporate ladder. They want to all climb the social ladder, the status ladder. But when they finally get high enough up, they realize it's leaning against the wrong building. Their entire life was invested in a worthless cause. And you know, it's a bitter pill to swallow. But here's the thing. If somebody would bow their knee before the King of Kings, their life can still be salvaged. What remaining breaths that are in their body can still mean something. Do you know, no matter how much you've wasted your existence in this life, it can still mean something? Your life can still have purpose. As long as there's breath in your body, God can work something out. You know, His grace is sufficient. The power of the blood of Christ is sufficient to wash away every sin. But don't take the grace of God in vain. You know, don't play around with that. Just realize that He's got enough there to set you free and pay the price that needs to be paid. So accept it, receive it, you know, believe it, move forward in it. And then, you know, just move on. Move on with real life. Don't dance around the past and what's dead, but move on with what's true and what's real. You know, the world right now is in a state of perpetual, it's an interesting time because there's the increasing interconnectedness, the flood of information and knowledge. The increase of knowledge. We're truly, truly, truly living in the day spoken about by the prophet Daniel, where what he was told was, you know, knowledge shall increase. If you're curious about what I'm talking about, read the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, and you can see some of what is brought there. I mean, my gosh, talk about a time in history where knowledge has increased. And because of the knowledge that's available, I mean, you know, you can learn so much. You know, right now it's available, it's at your fingertips. But like we talked about in a recent audio, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom and understanding. You know, when Solomon prayed, you know, he prayed for wisdom, he prayed for an understanding heart. Yes, knowledge is great, but you need wisdom, and you need an understanding heart. You need to know how to apply that which is there. You need to know how to walk through this life. Even, you know, here's the thing. With wisdom and understanding, even if you don't know what to necessarily do, you can't, you know, give a book explanation. You can't give a play-by-play about something. Even if you don't know knowledge-wise, surface-wise, what something is, it's okay, because knowledge, or because wisdom and understanding will still guide you through. You know, I was recently talking to somebody close to me about, you know, some of my own life experiences in the past. And there were times where there was a lot of stuff I didn't necessarily know, but God had given me wisdom and understanding. Enough so just to follow His word when it came to certain situations that I was in. And subsequently, later on in life, even now at this stage, when I got more knowledge, I realized And I'm so grateful for the wisdom and understanding that I had in that day and in that time to at least do what God had told me to do. Because that saved me from a lot of mess. You know, knowledge is fine and it's good. And it's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way, as Proverbs says. So you need knowledge, but you also need wisdom and understanding. And those are gifts that come from God. You know, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously, without finding fault. You got to ask Him. You've got to ask Him. Because when you ask the Lord, He's the one that gives that. And you know, you can be a young person out there walking through this life, and you can have an understanding heart. You can have wisdom that comes from the Most High God. And that will make you different. That will set you apart. That will result in an amazing life and life journey and set of experiences. Wisdom. You know, the people of God in this day and age, they have wisdom. They do. They're incredibly wise. But you know, sometimes too, I do feel like the children of God were also naive. You know, because we are like sheep. You know, we trust. We're horrified by what the world is. You know, we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be around that. But it's the world that we're in. Now I do think that there's a certain side of the children of God that is a bit naive about things that are what they are, what we're surrounded by. But look, you gotta allow the blinders to be taken off, because then you can see. And who's the one that takes off the blinders? Jesus Christ gives sight to the blind. Ask Him to open your eyes. Ask Him to reveal to you what the world is. What's going on? What's your purpose? What's your reason for existence? You know, ask Him. Because when you do that, when you know what's actually going on, when you actually see what this world is, it's, you know what? It makes life now, it puts it into a proper perspective. Because then you actually know what it is that you're supposed to do while you're here. Look, just so that you know, your reason and purpose for existence was not to come into this world, to be born, to make a bunch of friends, to go to school, to get married, to have sex, to have kids, to build a career for yourself, and then die on cue. That was not the reason that you were created. That was not the reason that you came into this life. You know, there's so many people throughout history that have come here, existed, just lived as cannon fodder. Their lives and their existence meant nothing. You were made for a purpose. You weren't just made to be part of a target audience. You weren't just made just to check a box. You were made with purpose. Hello. You were made for a reason. God designed you for a reason. God put gifts and talents in you for a reason. You were intended to rise up in those. You were intended to lay your life down before the King of Kings and ask Him to empower that which He's put in your hand. Just as Jesus Christ took a young boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and when it was offered up unto Him, God took it, transformed it, and fed 5,000 men. Also, there was women there, the children, so just the men was 5,000. God, and there was 12 baskets left over. God takes that which is offered up to Him and does something miraculous with it. And that's the intention. The intention for your life was that you would take that which was given unto you and that you would offer it back unto God. You know, something that's incredible in Scripture is that God doesn't focus on what you don't have. He doesn't focus on what you don't have. He focuses on what you have. And as minimal as that may seem, God just looks at what you have and will you offer it up before Him. Now look, He doesn't need what you have for the most part. Like, the cattle on a thousand hills is His. So, you know, He doesn't need your limited resource for Him to be God. Alright? So, that being the case, you know, you gotta see, you gotta know, you gotta understand that this is not about Him. This is about you. This is about your freedom. This is about your emancipation. This is about you becoming what God intended for you to be and living the maximum life and living the abundant life. This is about you. It's about you. It's not about Him. He's God all by Himself. He doesn't need you to be God. All right? This is about you. This is about you living an abundant life. This is about you living the maximum life. God takes whatever it is that you have and is laid down before Him. And when it's laid down before Him, He empowers that, quickens that, and makes it something incredible. Whether it be Moses and the staff that was in his hand, that when God told him to throw it down at the burning bush, and then He told him to take it back up again after it had been transformed, and it became the staff of God. From that point forward, every time you see it referred to in Scripture, it is the staff of God. Why? Because that which was laid down, the very representation of His natural abilities, the only thing He still trusted in was His ability to herd a few sheep for 40 years on the backside of the desert. At least He trusted in that. And when He ran from that last bit of His ability, and He left it before God, and He threw it down at the feet of God, God picked it up, told Him to pick it up, empowered by Him, and God made something incredible out of His life. Whether it be 5 loaves and 2 fish from a little boy, whether it be the Shunammite woman, and the oil and the flour, and Elijah, whether it be the fisherman's nets, and Peter, and, you know, go out into the deep for a catch, and they catch 153 fish, whatever it is, if it's your boat and your net, whether it's your lunch, whether it's a stick in your hand, what little bit you might have or think, whatever it may be, what God wants you to do with that is He wants you to lay it down at His feet. Whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you are, whatever it is that you think you are, be it your education, be it your career, be it your job, be it your years of life, whatever it is, doesn't matter. What God wants you to do is to put it down at His feet. To put 100% before Him. You know, God wants 100%. Nothing less. Because look, you can't do it with anything less. You can't live the abundant life with anything less than 100% devotion to the living God. You can't. Because in order to go all the way, in order to walk this thing out all the way, you've got to walk. You've got to have nothing left. It's got to be all in. You know, have you ever watched? I've seen on TV sometimes there's the World Poker Championships. And there's that point where a guy will get a good hand, and he'll go all in. Where what he does is he takes all the chips that he has and he pushes them into the center of the table, convinced that he can win, whether it's, you know, whether it's the hand he's got or a strategy he has or whatever. But, he goes all in. That means that it's do or die for him. That means that it's all inside there. There's nothing left over. You know, you can't keep something in reserve and do this. It's got to be all in. God wants you to go all in. Period. And if you can't go all in, then you're not worthy to be a disciple. And you know what? If you can't go all in with him, then you're not going to live the maximum life. You're just not. You'll live life, but you're not going to know that which he intended completely for you. Look, he still loves you. It's all right. He still loves you. But there is more. But that more comes with a price. And that price is total and complete surrender unto him. It's got to be complete and total. This is not dependent on a person. This is dependent on an individual walk, individual relationship, individual commitment, individual. It's you. Because you know why? When you die and this life is over, no one else is going to stand before God for you. It's just you. No one else is going to stand up and give an account for your life. It's going to be you. Just you. So knowing that, hey, you know, why not live it for real? Why not live the truth? Why not actually know what life was meant to be and live it out? And it starts in a very simple place, which is on your knees before the King of Kings. Bow down before him and turn it all over to him. And what you'll find is when you get back up, that whatever it is that you put before his feet, God will touch it by his Holy Spirit, and the power of God will flow through that. And it'll no longer be you, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. With that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Also, you can reach us on our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word, on Facebook. You'll find us. And, hey, you know what? We really appreciate you guys. We always appreciate feedback and hearing from you. It's just nice to know that you're out there. So, all right. Hey, God bless you. Keep on keeping on. Catch up soon. Talk to you later. Bye.